the Heisman Trust is proud to announce the winner of the 2005 Heisman Memorial Trophy. The winner is Reggie Bush of USC.
Live from 50th and Capitol Avenue in the Big O, this is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and 1620 The Zone TV. Now here's Gary, Nick, and Jimmy.
See, that song's going to be in my head now the entire day. It's one of those fight songs that will not leave your head.
I'll be doing that when Caleb Williams' name is announced tonight.
That's right. Big day for you. Big day for everybody. This is one of the bigger sports days of the year because we're having a round table.
That's true. There's a round table at Oscars
today coming up at noon. All five of us will be on the air, but from 10 to 6, they'll be live out there. So it just signifies it's the best day of the year. It's the best day of the year for Sonny Weaver.
Yeah.
But it is...
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
It is... Whoa, I just noticed you're geared out in all the Bears stuff.
We got two first-round picks, buddy. This is rare.
I'm hoping for you that 75 years of futility at quarterback is fixed tonight for your team.
And then to sneak it all in of the excitement of draft day, now you have this new stadium proposal on the lakefront that, from what I'm gauging...
Nick wants climate control.
...is pretty... But the good folks of Chicago and Clark County are not happy about the taxes.
Yeah, they're asking for $2 billion.
After they're still paying off the 2001 spaceship renovation, too. So
surprised they're not paying off
the Okinski stuff. It's coming with mixed results. For someone who doesn't have to pay taxes on that particular project, I don't mind watching a game indoors in December and being in the lakefront, not the burbs, but it's not my money either.
All I could think about when they were announcing that, one, first of all, it looks exactly like Vegas.
Yeah.
The stadium looks exactly like Vegas. That's very unique of Kevin Warren to do that. Did you watch their presser yesterday?
Bits and pieces of it.
Okay, did you see the beginning?
Uh-uh. No.
So at the beginning is like the thing that people are talking about. They began with a prayer.
Of course. How SEC of them? We were talking about the Bears.
Very, very odd.
Mm-hmm.
And there was... There was another thing I thought of as they were unveiling this. Now, it looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's not a retractable roof. It's kind of like, it looks like, it, well, first of all, it looks exactly like Vegas, but the roof looks like SoFi, that transluent or whatever they call it.
Translucent.
Translucent. That's a good word.
Yep.
Man, I butchered that thing.
And they've got I don't know if it's a window or the open air that actually sees the skyline.
Yeah,
too,
so that's why I think it's exactly like Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, look at a side-by-side comparison, which is not bad, but...
Even as Raiders logo.
Let's be a little bit
creative
a little bit original here. The other thing I thought about is the congestion
in
that area.
Well,
what a friggin' mess that will be. It's not like it's... Already like hunky-dory down there by the waterfront, and they're going to do that?
It'll be backed up to Iowa.
They're going to play at Soldier Field while this thing is being constructed. That is going to take away any other parking that you possibly have there, too. So what is very little parking available around the stadium will now become nothing.
I would just stay home.
But again, I'm far away from the project. I'll just sit back and I'll just enjoy, and then tell me when it's ready.
So good luck to you, Dave. Good luck to everybody. This is a mockers. A dream, you know.
I'll just be mocking it.
At 7 o'clock tonight, their dream and their industry, they now move on to 25. Like, I always wonder about people that their livelihood is the mock draft.
Mm-hmm. Al Kiper.
Like, is their whole life a mock? Like, do they have a mock girlfriend? Do they have mock kids?
Girlfriend bracket?
Did they move on when they were a kid? They had imaginary friends. Now they've moved on to being in the mock draft world.
Yeah.
And so they just have a mock family.
Yeah. I think that's conceivable, actually. It would be
conceivable. I see what you did there.
It'd be quite the life to live. But it's kind of like accountants after April 15th. I always wonder what they do after today. Well, after this weekend. Once it's over, do you take a vacation? Do you sit there and just, I don't know, just you're in a room of emptiness and you collect your thoughts and you evaluate your life? I don't know. I don't know what they do.
So this is...
Sounds like my day.
You know, as the draft begins tonight in Detroit... Which I'm already trying to think, You know, David Pearson trolled the Eagles fans. David Akers turned around and trolled the Cowboy fans. Who will the Lions have on day two or day three who will troll either the Bears or the Packers?
Eric Hippel, of course.
The Vikings. What are the Lions' chief rival is the Bears, correct?
Yeah, because
more than the Packers.
Yeah, I think so.
Like
yeah.
Everybody can hate the Packers, yeah. though, right? Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean that's the common link in the North is that everybody hates the Packers. But I would still lean towards the Bears when it comes to the Lions. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, everybody judges a draft off a quarterback class. I mean, look at the quarterback class from a couple of years ago. Nearly everyone has been traded. And this year you could have a run, and you will have a run of three bam, bam, bam quarterbacks. You'd have possibly six go. So that's how we'll judge if this class is any good. But I always caution this. I would love to be in a draft room.
I just want to shake hands with everyone when they make the pick.
I would love to hear the conversation. Like I get kind of, you know, I get a little sentimental when I hear the calls to prospects. Like Deuce Vaughn got drafted by the Cowboys last year, and his dad works for the Cowboys, so he made the call. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff, I'm like, okay, I like hearing. You know, when the GM calls and then the head coach is calling and, you know, they're talking on the phone and you can't hear anything and then they put the phone down and they get picked. That's all kind of cool. And this is an incredible day for all of these young men and families to go through this. And it's become such an industry that there is a lot of manufactured drama, but we watch.
Oh, yeah.
There will be record ratings for the NFL draft over the next 3 days. But everything is about the quarterbacks. And the quarterbacks, it's about a 50% hit rate on if they're going to pan out to be multi-year starters, maybe even a Pro Bowl, maybe even win a Super Bowl, or there's going to be the half of those guys that are Zach Wilsons of the world. Mm-hmm. Go second overall, and they're already on to their next city. But I always like I think we miss out on something. We talk about quarterbacks and being drafted. Is it's more on not when they're picked, but where they're going. Like I think your team is set up to have a rookie quarterback at least keep his head above water. I think Minnesota is set up really well to have a rookie quarterback come in when you look at the pass catchers they have on that roster. There are some places like Bryce Young, where he was going, they were not set up to have Bryce Young be successful in his first year, where in turn, C.J. Stroud goes to Houston and the infrastructure they have there, they're set up to do pretty well, just like Mahomes to Kansas City, whether it be the head coach, general manager, or what you have on the roster around them. Yeah, I think it's more to focus on where they go, the city, the team, than when they go in the draft.
Yeah.
Half these six, they're not going to pan out. And which three will it be, and how will that impact the franchise?
And
for a long time.
This is going back a couple of years ago when Justin Fields was drafted. I think the euphoria of Chicago getting a quarterback that looked the part, that this wasn't the Mitchell Trubisky pick. This was someone who was a well-accomplished quarterback in college, had more than 13 starts in college. And that alone made myself, and I know a lot of Chicago Bears fans, overlook the fact that he wasn't going into a great situation. If you think about where Matt Nagy was in his tenure there, and Ryan Pace, you were going into a desperate situation for that group of guys right there. And then you looked around him, and you're saying, okay, who's he got to throw to? All right, well, you got Darnell Mooney. You know, Allen Robinson isn't going to be there. And your offensive line is
why didn't they keep Willie creaky. Gault?
Oh, I love Willie Gault. Track speed.
Nice. Tom
Dennis
Waddle.
McKinnon.
Yes.
Tom Waddle's great. Tom Waddle.
The front office hasn't done a good job of retaining those guys.
Yeah. Still has a concussion from the 91 wild card game.
He's great on the radio, though. So when he was put in, and again, by desperation, because remember, they got Andy Dalton that year thinking, hey, he'll be the good bridge guy. You knew what Matt Nagy was trying to do. He's trying to use the example in Kansas City when he was there of you've got Alex Smith. Mahomes is going to learn under him. Well, we got Andy Dalton. I know. But he's going to learn under him. He doesn't have to have the weight of the world on him that first year, and hopefully in that time, the organization can add more resources available for him. Well, they got desperate because they were losing games, and they were hearing the calls from everyone saying, play the kid, play the kid. And they did. He wasn't prepared. He had no help whatsoever. I don't know what's going to happen to Justin Fields. I do look at Caleb Williams this time around. This is where I appreciate what Ryan Poles has done. This is where I look at what they've done in the last 2 years now, trying to build the offensive line. You can't control injuries all the time. But also, you get DJ Moore a year ago. You got Keenan Allen. I like Cole Kmet a lot. You've got some guys, and I would be shocked if they go through this draft with limited picks without adding another weapon there. So I feel like Caleb Williams is going into a better situation. The only thing that makes me nervous is when you look at Eberflus, who was retained a year ago. If it doesn't go well, does Caleb Williams have to look at his second year under a new head coach who's going to bring in his own people as well? So there's that part of it, but at least on the roster, it's in better shape than it was when Justin Fields was forced into action.
Josh is already dropping a bomb on you. Good morning, Josh. I think if this is the Josh that I know, I will see you tonight at the draft party. He said, I can't wait for the Bears to draft Caleb Williams and lose to the Packers twice this season. There will be a lot of teams losing to the Packers this season.
Yep.
Now, here's a little thing for Husker fans. Okay, because you know, Nebraska won't have a first-round draft pick. They will not have a first-round draft pick until the 2027 draft, when they'll have a quarterback go in the first round.
But yeah. Enough about Danny Kalen.
Oh.
Wait, well, what? you guys are like, whoa, what? Are you doing the math in your head?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just realized, wow, 2027. It's already that.
Enjoy them while you have them.
Yeah.
So, well, that's 2027 will be an interesting draft. If things are the way they're supposed to be, 2027 will be a big draft day on this radio station.
On 101.9 The Zone.
But the other thing, I just, you know, you're fearful as a Nebraska football fan. No first round pick, 2011, long, long time ago, is you go, oh, please, all the Ohio State guys get drafted. Don't show the Nebraska game. Please don't show the Nebraska game. Please, please. J.J. McCarthy and all of the scuttlebutt around him, there's two things. You will see probably quite a few plays against Nebraska. I'm imagining, because his girlfriend will be in the green room with him, you will see the kiss heard and seen around Memorial Stadium when Michigan beat Nebraska. So I just, I'm couching for Nebraska fan just to anticipate a couple of things are going to happen here over the course of this evening in the NFL draft.
And it's not always highlights, too. Remember in the COVID draft when Trey Wingo led off
The COVID draft when Roger Goodell became likable?
Yeah, when he was in his study.
He was likable.
He was in his basement. And, there were a lot of weird things with that. But remember, they asked when they were talking about Joe Burrow, it was right out of the gate that Trey Wingo had brought up.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
About Scott Frost saying between Joe Burrow and what they had on the roster, is he better than what we have? And there was an emphatic, yes, he is! Not putting into the context of where Joe Burrow was in his career and Nebraska and where they thought that they were with their quarterback situation. It was just very funny that, it didn't even go 2 minutes into the draft that Nebraska was getting shade thrown on him because they passed on Joe Burrow. So they're like, it's going to be that kind of night. So those are the things we get to look forward to on draft night when it comes to Nebraska. You're right. Either Ohio State highlights, already have seen every time they show J.J. McCarthy the rollout touchdown pass in the Nebraska game. That's shown on repeat every time they bring up J.J. McCarthy.
Last night, downtown.
Late night.
Nice night for baseball. Yeah, we were all there.
Yeah.
Creighton rallied in the 10th inning after rallying in the 8th to sweep Coastal Carolina with a victory and continue the confusion that is Creighton baseball at 30-9.
Yep.
And their RPI is still at 41.
At least it went up 8. As opposed to yesterday, where I think it only went up 2 spots.
But impressive back-to-back nights. Mm-hmm. And a team that is, I think because you look at their RPI, you go, who are they? We've done this. Like, who is Creighton? So they're definitely a sleeper. Now you make the transition. First of all, can they get into the tournament? Because they still got to get into their own tournament. And could they do some damage? But that was impressive last night. What do you think? How do you think Kyle Hess celebrated? Because he had the 8th inning where he had the 2-run triple, and then he has the 10th inning with the walk-off, and I still can't figure out why Coastal Carolina's outfielders were so deep.
That and they were doing that the last two nights, too.
Yeah,
is where you kind of get into the
that didn't make sense.
The setting of this field and when you don't know how to necessarily play it, even though the ball still travels out of that ballpark these days. And
you mean even with the COVID eligibility, they don't have guys that were here in 16?
You would think. I think they just missed them.
But pretty impressive back-to-back wins by Creighton. And now the focus, because they are the midweek champions.
They are.
I mean, I think they will hang a banner.
Should.
For being midweek champions. But that's pretty damn impressive what they've done the last two nights against Coastal Carolina. And we'll see in about 5 weeks how much it benefits them. Because I saw Kendall yesterday had Creighton as one of the first 4 out. Yep. Still had Nebraska as a 2 seed. And Nebraska's RPI, by the way, just being fair and balanced, because we are Fox Station, they are 23 this morning. So they dropped 2 spots overnight.
UConn was the only representative from the Big East, just because by default that they lead the Big East right now. So yeah, it's a one bid league. But this is where Creighton, this is where what they did in the last 48 hours can serve them well without actually winning the Big East tournament. Now, obviously, you have to get in, but then you put yourself in a position that by getting in, they're going to have to win some series. And the good thing is you still got UConn, you still got St. John's, you got Georgetown this weekend. So there are those opportunities. And we say that's a good thing, but we're still waiting for...
But don't they really only have two opportunities to help their resume? Everything else is hurting.
Yes.
And that is Nebraska next Tuesday,
yep,
and then the trip to UConn.
Right. Yeah, and I haven't... didn't even look at where St. John's is right now.
New York.
Thank you.
To be...
Queens, to be...
Sorry, well, where they are in the
been there,
RPI. Yeah, they're not... Okay, they're not even in the top 100, at least unless I just scanned over them. So if you... Yeah, you look at those opportunities from an RPI standpoint, that is. But as far as getting yourself in a position to get back into the better side of that top four where you feel like you're in the Big East tournament, that's where then you can start. If they can put themselves in, say, solidly at the two or three seed in the Big East tournament, then you can start looking at that resume. Then you can start looking at that RPI. Then you can start saying, okay, are they worthy with what they've done in the midweek and by being in the Big East tournament, as long as they don't have a early exit, you win at least a game in the Big East tournament, then I think they're under heavy consideration. And that's why what they still have in front of them from a Big East standing standpoint is huge. And we've been talking about this the last 2 days. If this run against Coastal Carolina, what you did offensively, and I know this was a way to describe Nebraska when they won the Big Ten a couple of years back, the grit, those are,
yeah,
from a mental standpoint, what you're able to do where it looked like, hey, you know what, there's no shame in splitting with Coastal Carolina. And the way that game was trending last night, that's the one thing that I've been so impressed with this team, and would love to see that over the weekend as well. That confidence is there. And so if you can't draw something from these two games against Coastal Carolina, I honestly don't know what you will find, yeah, it from. This has to mean something. And I know it sounds like a broken record in saying that. This has to mean something because I'm convinced they're a good team. I don't know why it doesn't show up.
They are a good team. And they are, if they get into an NCAA tournament, you're right. Their resiliency is pretty impressive. I mean, they battle you for 9 innings. They could be a team that possibly does some damage, I think, if they get in. But if they don't make their Big East tournament and you're on optics and you're looking at RPI, mm-hmm, I think you're having a tension convention on Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah.
But they're good. They're good. And the last two nights proved how good they are. I just don't get what happens on the Big East weekends. You know, you could win the series. Okay, that's fine. But losing a series.
Right.
They're pitching last night. I mean, before I started to watch the Heat game there, it was, 3-0?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this might be one of those nights where we got one.
Yeah.
1-2-3 Cancun, mm-hmm, and we split, we're fine.
Yeah.
They're pitchers. For the last 9 innings of that game, man, and they rolled out Tom, Dick, and Harry to pitch. Now, some of their better arms out of the bullpen got to pitch last night, so that made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 9 innings of that game, they only gave up 1 run. They struck out 8. They only gave up 5 hits. And there was not a lot of moments where, like, you could feel like the dam was about to burst and Coastal was going to,
right,
put a big crooked number up. So kudos on their pitching staff. But that's a fun team to watch. That's a good team. But now they got to take care of business on the weekend.
And most likely playing a doubleheader on Saturday. Because it don't look good on Friday.
Oh, Bill Ranby already.
Do you see it? They say have 100% chance of rain. They usually don't like to say 100%. Give yourself a chance, a little wiggle room.
Scaremonger said we're all going to drown.
Saw Bill Ranby yesterday.
Yeah? How are his sleeves?
He was out at the Storm Chasers game, threw out a first pitch.
Oh, did he?
Threw a little change up.
Right,
low and away. I think the ABS system would call it a ball.
Oh.
If, you know, it was Hunter Wendelstadt or Angel Hernandez, it was a strike.
Did it snap like Paul Skeens?
No.
That's too bad. Because that snap.
I know he gave up his first run, but
I gave him an error last night on a play.
How did you?
I had to assess him an error. Yeah, he threw comebacker to him. First of all, it broke a bat, so the bat's coming right at him. So was the ball. He turned and he threw it to second, and he one-hopped it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it got away from the second baseman who was covering the bag, and a run scored. So I had to give him an error.
Yeah, that's on him.
But yeah, he should not be in AAA. We'll talk more about him because he is chill. Man, he is a cool dude. He's exactly the same guy that was here from LSU last year that was really fun interview. He has it going. and he should not be in AAA. He should be in the majors, but they manipulate service time and so on and so forth. But that was fun yesterday. But Bill Ranby threw out one of the first pitches because it was, it was kids' day, so they had a sellout, over 9,000 to watch Skeens and to sing all the songs. Like, to hear constant chatter during one of those games.
Yeah.
And then to hear, like, the kids that recognize songs so they'll sing along to them. I was like, oh, that's kind of refreshing. It was like a fun day. So they had a sellout there.
It's like, my parents but they love also Cypress
have,
Hill.
They have like weather awareness, teach the kids. Randy was there. First thing somebody said to me, because you only see Bill on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, man, he's skinnier.
Or tall.
I said, taller. You know what? TV puts 15 pounds on you. Radio, they say, puts 35. But I did see the weather for Friday. Yeah.
It's not looking good.
It's raining right now here in Omaha.
So that's the other thing is we're talking a lot about what happens with Creighton on Friday, but that also impacts the team in Lincoln.
Let's go! Big series against Iowa this weekend.
With a spring game on top of what it was going to be a nice little transition from Memorial Stadium to Haymarket Park to Bolin Stadium. Now you might have to...
2 o'clock doubleheader.
That's there what I'm go. Kind of thinking, too. Yeah. Then you get the night game.
That spring game will be over by one.
Yeah, well.
You got a TV window to get into.
Yep.
All right. The window that we fit our guests into is brought to you by the Rooferies at John Higgins Weather Guard.
Well done. Effortless.
Carmen DeFalco from ESPN 1000 in Chicago will join us. Kind of a big day the last 2 days for the city of Chicago with the announcement of the stadium plans on the lakefront. We got to hear from Kevin Warren again.
He's also a big, not Warren, but Carmen's also a big White Sox fan, so that'll be fun.
It is fun.
I don't know if that's fun.
No, it's not fun.
I'm
also
enjoying it.
Sarah Hansen stops by, Steve Sipple and Brian Edwards. And don't forget, we have the round table today at a square table at Oscars. Happer's show will be out there, and then USC. And then in between, we're the sandwich. All five get together. We're having a fivesome on the air to talk about ball, y'all.
Bring your own pineapple.
We're not talking about practice. We're going to be talking about a game. Not practice. We're going to be talking about a game. That is a couple of days away when the red takes on the white, a rivalry that goes back many, many, many years ago.
This is where you start picking teams and they quit talking to each other for the next few days.
Really gets emotional.
Until that game wraps up on Saturday.
Is it just me or there is such little anticipation and excitement for the spring game.
This
is
not great, just though. You.
Boring is good.
Somebody in a group chat yesterday said, hey, have they decided how they're going to pick the teams? Because in the past, that's like a question that's come up.
Yep.
You haven't heard anything about how they're going to pick the teams. Like, nobody's even asked.
Nope.
Or a coach has, like, offered.
And Matt Rhule today probably be like, does anybody want to know how we're going to do this? We trust you, coach.
Get in.
What you got to do.
Get in, get out, no injuries. Kind of my philosophy when I was in college. 6:31.
It's true, though.
Join the conversation. If you'd like to discuss, like today, who would Sonny Weaver take at number two? You can join us on the Zone Hotline. It is powered by 42 Degrees, The Source, by your mom's house, 402-951-1620.
Bo Callahan.
Jackknifed semi off the road, JFK northbound approaching I-80. That did not look good.
You don't want to hear that at 6:30. You don't want to hear that ever.
People, basketball fans in state are not happy with Bellevue, so they're jackknifing semis. 402-951-1620. You can also email us in the Equitable Bank inbox, where Doug is anticipating a phone call. He'll pick it up on the first ring. You want to call him, just talk about random stuff. He'll be there today for you.
He's there already.
He won't be there tomorrow because tomorrow's a golf day. Well, no, it's raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he like during golf season, he doesn't work on Fridays. But he has people that fill in for him. It's quite amazing when you run the place. But the Equitable Bank inbox where they take banking personally, professionally, and for you. They are for the people.
Courteous, too.
You can put a guarantee on the box. But Equitable Bank guarantees that you don't need a box to do business with them. Gary at 1620thezone.com.
Hanley at 1620thezone.com.
Also on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, official sponsor of Nebraska football, at Gary Sharp 1620.
At Nick Hanley 1620.
All right, off and running. More on the draft. Also some college baseball and basketball. Creighton adds one. Nebraska tries to find another. We'll do all of that as we roll till 10. Good lineup. Good show for you. And don't forget, Roundtable at noon out at Oscars. So come have a nooner with us. Mix in a little beer, pizza, and wings, and football. I mean, what else do you want?
And get yourself ready for draft day. Just stay there for the draft.
Peyote with your favorite zone personality.
Wait, can you imagine if you stayed there for the draft and you showed up at noon? You think you'd have to be you carried out or wheeled out when the draft is over tonight about 10:30?
Depends how much pizza and wings you have.
You're a Cowboys fan. You think they're good.
Either way, that's a good Thursday.
All right, off and running. Jimmy, I'll have a little update later. There'll be a lot of Heat talk in that update, I imagine.
That's right. I should have started with Peppas.
Heat culture, baby.
Peppas. I forgot about Peppas.
We'll see what happens in Miami first.
It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.